I'm going to title this message, Do Not Fear Paradidomi. Do Not Fear Paradidomi. Now, my brother once, you've heard his story, but my brother once sat down with his girls when they're little, you know, and went evening to pray with them before they put them in bed, and he thought they'd memorize a scripture. And one of the scriptures he brought up was, Do not fear them. And, you know, after he got done, he went to leave the room, and he heard his daughters, you know, sobbing and crying, and he came back in. What's wrong? He says, Who's them, Dad? And it's like, I didn't know there was a them that we're supposed to fear. So when somebody says, do not fear, it's like, oh, is there a reason to be afraid? And so it's kind of an interesting thing. And they say in the King James, I didn't check, they've said this for years and it's probably right, but do not fear, they said, has been in the King James is 365 times, one for every day. And if you read through from Genesis to Revelation, it's just over and over, it says, do not fear, do not fear. Do not fear. And again, it's like, okay, what is there out there to be afraid of? I'm kind of amazed when I don't think about mountain lions being around our property, I'm not afraid of them. But when I sit down in the hot tub and I think about a mountain lion looking over the edge, I start getting a little nervous. And isn't it kind of strange how some of our fears, if we wouldn't think about it, I mean, it's not like it's more chance of something going wrong or less chance. It's just what you're aware of, right? But I think it's really, it's old news, but it just bears repeating. No matter what you're going through, our Father has said, do not fear. He didn't say try not to fear. He didn't say you don't fear too often. He just said, do not fear. And a wise person just takes God at his word and says, okay. And you think, well, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible to have the grace of God impact your heart to where you don't live in fear. And fear produces a tremendous amount of fruit. Fear will produce, I remember one guy just said, fear will make you extremely stupid. It'll make you do some of the stupidest things, you know, and end up having something bad happen because you are afraid. So do not fear, paradidomi. Well, we'll find out what that is maybe. So I want to go to Philemon. Philemon's only got one chapter. Paul was writing to Philemon, and he's a nice guy. Paul was requesting a lot of things of him. But let me just pick it up. I'm going to pick up in verse 3. It says, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's really okay for us to think about more and more saying to people, grace and peace be to you. And your text and everything, grace and peace be to you. Man, it's a powerful thing to speak those words. And it's like, you know, you can actually deposit money in somebody else's account. You know, it's amazing. You a lot of things you can't do in a bank that I find out. But we got a banker here. But depositing money in somebody else's account usually is always available. It's usually always open. And think about it. You got the opportunity, you and I, to deposit into people's lives all the time by some of the words that we say. So grace and peace be multiplied to you is a great thing. Goes on to say, and I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. And that always touches me that, hey, I want to be thankful to God. There's something, it's repeated often in scriptures, but it's almost like there's something awful good about saying to God, by the way, thank you for Bob. Thank you for George. Thank you for these people and their faithfulness. Boy, I believe there's something really that impacts all of us by being grateful to the Lord for people and then to mention them in your prayers. And I will say that this is an area where I'm pretty faithful. Morning, night, evening, times I get to go to my chair and recline, one of the first things I do is just start thanking God for people and praying for them and mentioning them. And, because I really do believe it makes a difference. It goes on to say, because I hear of your love and the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship, And that word fellowship is koinonia, for those of you who have gone through any of the classes or studied that yourself. It's a powerful word, a partnership of joining together, of intimacy. He says, I pray that the koinonia of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing. This, you've heard me say it before, but boy, it bears repeating all the time. Paul is saying here that your faith can become effective, or actually start working, producing, and it comes through the knowledge of every good thing. You know, the Bible says if without, people perish because of lack of knowledge. If you don't know, you don't know. If you forget, you forfeit. But just to know that the things that have been given to you, all the time, I think, and I go back to depositing something in somebody's account. If you deposit $100,000 in somebody's account, but they never check their account, they never balance their checkbook, and that doesn't happen. I mean, nowadays you just get online and I check it all the time. But if you didn't know how, you could go a long time with $100,000 in your account and never have any benefit from it. And this is exactly what happens to so many believers. They don't know every good thing that's been given to them in Christ Jesus and for Jesus' sake. I think that's really a one of the things that motivates me, because sometimes I do wrestle with being too blessed or, somewhat feeling guilty. I know a lot of people don't do that, but I sometimes do. It's weird. It's wrong. But a lot of times, though, man, it really purifies my motives when I just said, Lord, bless me, increase me for Jesus' sake. And it is very scriptural and very true, man. When he's allowed to bless you and me and empower us, it increases the kingdom of God and all that he's trying to do. So don't act like you're unselfish or something by saying, oh, I've got plenty, I don't need any more. Yes, you do need more. Because there's a lot of needs in the world today, and we need more of everything, amen? We need finances, certainly. But we need power, we need joy, we need peace, we need insight, we need spiritual guidance, we need leadership. And Paul goes, he just says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective, actually start producing through the knowledge of every good thing that is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshing through you, brother. Now this word knowledge can also be, and I think in the King James it is, acknowledge. How many things, I actually asked AI the other day, give me a list of 10 things that become more effective by being aware of them. And it's pretty fast. It doesn't take very long for it to think sometimes. Sometimes it takes a little while. But anyway, it came up with a pretty good list, and I had some fun playing with it. But it was just kind of fun to think about how many things do become more effective because we acknowledge them. Some of you remember this story, but I was leaving my family for Asia. We'd just come back from Cancun, Mexico. And I was going to get home one night, preach, and then head over to Asia. And I was feeling a little gloom and oh man, it's been so good to be with family. And then here I am taking off on another trip. And I had, at that time, I had some privileges. So I sat back and coached with my family. And I'd already checked with the stewardess because I had rights to be in first class. And they had empty seats there. So I waited till we took off. And then I said, guys, I'll see you. I'm going to go up in first class. And then, I don't know if you guys remember that. Not you guys, you weren't here. But I just went up there and sat down, and it's like, how does Dad do that? Anyway, I sat down, and I got, in that big seat. And again, with my imagination, it just hit me. I felt the presence, By the way, sometimes, once in a while you don't feel the presence of something. You're connected into the spiritual realm, and you're connected in the heart realm, and you will pick up things. And if you don't just blow it off all the time, you don't want to get superstitious about everything. But there's times that you're just tapping into the whole spiritual realm that's around you. I've had to learn to be kind of careful. Bill Myros and Val came to our house one day for a staff meeting, and I went out to the car to greet them, and they got out, and the kids got out, and I just sat there and looked, and I said, "Seems like somebody's missing." And I remember Val just looked right at me and goes, "Give me that evil eye that she had, you know. What are you talking about?" And about 3 months later, Bill walks into my office, struts in there, slams something down, says, "I got a bone to pick with you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "My wife's pregnant." "And I'm blaming you." I said, "Whoa." He heard me. I joked to, I don't even know why I said, "Brody, you know, don't get, you know, I want to see you get a red card." And he does. Yeah. But you're tapped into things. And a lot of times I'll just feel a presence come in. You will feel it too if you just become aware of some of these things. Again, don't get superstition, but there's just sometimes you're just aware of something, a presence. You're aware of, you know, and you're just understand that not everything is a word that you got to give to somebody else, but you are in a spiritual realm. You are a spiritual being. You will pick up things in the spiritual realm. The more you're aware of it, the more you acknowledge it, the more powerful it'll get. And there's times it'll save your life by just the promptings that it'll give you. Well, I sat down in that chair, and I thought somebody jumped over the chair and landed in the chair beside me. And so I went with it, and I just turned to that chair, and I said, "Who are you?" He says, "It's me, the Holy Spirit." I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm so pumped about this next trip with you." And, you know, I'm telling you, I was in that little bit of that, "Oh, I don't want to go" type thing. And he said, "I'm so excited to be with you." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm going to show you how to become more powerful in your life with walking with me." And I thought, wow, all of a sudden I had anticipation. All of a sudden I had expectation. All of a sudden I was like, "Oh, something's good. This is going to be good. And then I preached on that the next day. And I remember as I got on the plane, you know, I thought, man, why do I say things to everybody in the church? Because now when I get back, they're going to say, "What'd you learn?" And I thought, what if I don't learn anything? But I do remember what he taught me. And he talked on me that whole trip. But the biggest thing he said is that you will increase your spiritual walk and power and increase in everything if you will acknowledge my presence. Just be aware of it. Just make yourself become aware of the Holy Spirit in your life and do things. Do whatever you got to do to get there, you know. They become effective. Now, as Jody was sharing, I was thinking, too, about songs again. About every song was like, man, that's the whole message here, whatever else. But the evidence is all around us. At the same time, life is not smooth. And fantasies are not effective in the Christian walk. Having the idea that everything is going to go great, everything is good, you know, is a fantasy. It's a lot easier when you recognize, listen, there's going to be battles, but we're going to win. I remember I started coaching soccer because my oldest son, Nathan, was on a team, and they were little, and they played a few games. They weren't real great then. But then they were going to play a tough team, and the coach just said, "I want everybody to just go out and kind of get around the goal and try to protect it so they don't get too many goals on us." And I go, "Okay, that's the end of that. I'll coach now." Because we're not going to sit there in fear of losing bad and just sit there and not try to even play the game. And yet a lot of people, that's what they do. They just try to sit in some little bubble, hide someplace in their home, Don't get around and mingle with people because, oh, man, it's just to get around people who got their problems and et cetera, and they just don't even live. Man, do not fear. Paradidomi. Let's go on. I'm going to read to you out of 1 Peter. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I was thinking about this as we were singing. There's so many things I'm so hungry for. I'm still growing in. I'm still, you know, the message never gets old because it's, I've got to be reminded. You've got to be reminded. We're not just repeating things. We're just building up our faith all the time until the word prevail. And yet at the same time, I thought, man, John Williamson is not the little intimidated boy that he was back when somebody said, "What's your name?" And I froze. I couldn't even tell a person my name. Just totally locked up. And then all the other things that took place in my life, so intimidated. And then not feeling like I belonged. Of course, my brothers always tell me that I wasn't really born into the family. Some bird brought me. Or no, I think he said UPS or something. He's them. And I'm just like, well, I know that's not true. But is it possible? It's funny what doubt can come in. All I'm saying is, I know this, that I really wanted to fit. I really wanted to belong, and I didn't feel like. And I can honestly say, as Jody read that scripture, that's in the past. John Williamson doesn't fight anymore that he doesn't belong. I may not belong in a whole lot of groups. They may not acknowledge me. They may not want me, and I'm all right with that. In fact, as much as I love being around people, gosh, I love being with myself. I don't know. It's a real strange thing, but my pastor friend Dwayne Aris and his wife, we were talking about it. She will not go to a restaurant by herself. She just doesn't want to ever go in and be awkward by being sitting by herself. And yeah, some of you are smiling, some of you one way or the other. Maybe you're that way, maybe you're not that way. But as much as I love being around people, man, I like being around me. Just going on a motorcycle ride by myself, sitting and eating someplace, having a cup of coffee next to a stream by myself, I love it. Why? Because I know who I am now. I'm a child of God. I'm a royal priesthood. This scripture is very real to me. I'm a holy nation. I'm a people. I'm now his people. I belong to him. There's no doubt about that. I have my failures. There's times I wish I was doing better. There's times that I feel insecure a little bit, but it's like I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm not afraid of being alone. I'm not afraid of dying alone. I don't know if you think about it, but sometimes I do when I hear somebody passing away or whatever else. I think, well, what's my departure? I've talked about this. What's my departure going to be? It's hard not to think about it once in a while. How am I going to go? And people say, well, I wish I would have been with my dad or whatever. I couldn't be. And I understand that, and I try to honor that. But the truth is, I think about it. Listen, the one I'm going to be with when I depart is my Savior. He never leaves me. He's going to be talking to me. He's going to be ministering to me right to the last. In fact, I think it's going to get clearer than ever before I go. I think, I remember when my secretary was dying of cancer, and she couldn't move her left side, and she couldn't hardly speak. And I went to her bed and held her hand, and I was, and she was out of it kind of, and I just said to her, I said, Myrna, when you get there, greet my grandparents. And she'd heard all my stories about my grandparents. And I'll never forget her arm that hadn't moved for days. Her left hand came up, put it on my face. Her right hand came up and put it on my face. She grabbed my face, turned it towards her, and she looked right at me, and she said, "He loves you so much." And this gigantic, strong pastor that was there for her just fell apart. I sat there and just wept and wept. It was Jesus manifesting right out of her body right there at the last. And I went to my car after I left and got to the parking lot and just wept because it was stuff I believe, stuff I totally get. And yet at the same time, to have it spoken to me so clearly, "He loves you so much," really melted my heart. I'm not afraid of dying alone. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not afraid of living alone. I pray that you're not. I pray that you really acknowledge and become aware of this, that you were a people that were not a people. You now are a people. You had no mercy. Now you have received mercy. You're a holy nation. You're God's own property. That's awesome. Let that just sink in. And that's why you can literally walk in this commandment of God, do not fear. You can actually not fear because he is with you in whatever you're going through. 1 Peter 2:21 says this, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." And now it's going to be talking about Jesus, "who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." I don't know about you, but there's times that I just think when I'm being, I don't get yelled at a lot, but there's times you just feel the pressure of people not liking you or disagreeing with you. And there's times people yell at you. Kind of like the time I cut in front of a pickup truck in Rapid City on Main Street. I didn't see him coming, and I pulled out right in front of him. And I cranked it real sharp and missed him, and then he began to yell at me. He rolled his window down and began to yell at me. Well, he was on this side, and I didn't have electric windows on that truck. And so I reached over and cranked it down so that he could talk to me. The friend, he was wanting to talk to me. And so I just rolled the window down, and he proceeded just to call me a lot of names. And John wasn't one of them. And finally we go like 2-3 blocks, and he's just reaming me. And finally I said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I got a turn up here." And he said, "You're a menace to society." And I just said, "Well, thank you. I want to work on that." And I turned. Why would I do that? Because this verse tells me sometimes, man, Jesus was slapped. He was done everything, and he didn't return it. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew what he had to get done. He was powerful. He did not fear. And so there's times I've been able to walk in this, and times you'd be able to walk in this where you're not responding the normal way, because you really know who you are and you know what you got. And so we go down, and Jesus said, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges. We sang several songs today about this. "Lord, I give you my heart. I trust you. Your evidence is all around me." Entrusting himself. It goes on to say, "and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that he might die to sin, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Let's go back to that word, entrusting. One of the definitions, it says, it can also mean entrusting or committing something to someone else's care. Jesus, I am entrusting my whole life into your care. You know, if you've been, and we all have been betrayed, we've all been let down. Boy, if there's anything I find in people's hearts, it's a fear to trust people, to trust anybody. And right now it's rampant, isn't it? Everybody's lying. And so the idea of it, it's just way easier to say, several of you, if not all of you, I know for me, there was things that happened that just said, I will never put myself in that position again of trusting somebody for my life. The problem is if you carry that over to where you don't trust in the creator of the universe. But then you think about it logically, if you can't trust the one who made all this, who is all power, all love, all light, there is no one to trust, especially yourself. It is a very logical thing to just say, I really do trust him. And I will place my life into his hands. What's beautiful about this is you don't have to do that to anybody else. People say, when I get on these planes, they said, do you trust the pilots? I said, are you kidding me? I've been in the airports when I've seen pilots drunk so bad they couldn't stand and had to be ushered out. Drunk pilots don't live long, by the way, nor the people they fly with. Well, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't fly because I don't, you know. Well, I don't fly because I trust pilots. I don't get in cars with other people because I trust them. But I do entrust my soul to the creator of him, and I trust him. Do I want to grow in that? Absolutely. Do you want to grow in it? I hope you do, because I'll tell you what, it is the smartest thing you can ever do is to acknowledge. It'll make the power of God and make everything, the favor of God, everything in your life will flow so much stronger, so much mightier when you say, I acknowledge the truth that I have entrusted my life to him. And he now is in charge. You know what's really fun about this is sometimes I'll get after him. Have you ever got off to God? Yeah, you do. I'll just say, hey, I'm not doing very good right now. It's your fault. What do you mean? I've entrusted my soul to you. I've said, Lord, your will be my will. Your plan be my plan. You empower me. You strengthen me. I don't have anything. So if I'm weak right now, it's your fault. I don't know if you've ever got that gutsy, but I have. And usually it's when I'm alone, so nobody else gets to hear. And then usually it's loud, because I'm by that time I'm kind of built up to get to that point. Man, every time I do that, I go, God, if I fail at this, it's your fault. And every time I love his answer, he always goes, oh, John, I love it when you talk that way. I love it when you talk that way. What? You're not mad? No, he says, I love it because I can handle it. Your God can handle anything you got to go through to help you. And remember this always. He always goes for the win. Always. He always goes for the win. He always goes for the victory. He always leads us in triumph. Let's read on here a little bit. Go back down. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd. You talk a lot about shepherd, but shepherd just means the guy that takes care of you, leads you in the paths of righteousness, takes you to the streams of water, and to the guardian of your souls. And I've read this, and you've read it, but boy, all of a sudden it just really hit me. I have a guardian of my soul. Let me read to you a definition of guardian. A man charged with the duty of seeing that things be done by others are done rightly. A guardian or a superintendent. We have a superintendent on the job site, and his job is to make sure everybody else does everything right. That's his job. He's overseeing everything. You and I have a superintendent, a guardian in our life to see to it that everything gets done right. Wow. Wow. The word guardian is paradidomi. Don't fear your paradidomi. Don't fear entrusting your soul to the guarding of your life. And then realize that to the degree that you acknowledge him, to the degree that you have the knowledge of him in your heart, and to the degree that you stay aware of his presence and his purpose and his plan will be the degree that he is able. You and I can limit what God can do in our life by what we acknowledge or we forget about. About what we respond to or what we ignore. And what a powerful thing in your life and my life to just say, you know, was it Frank Sinatra sang the song, I did it my way? You're an idiot. Your way's foolish. You know, no matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, think about that. The billions of things going on, the millions of trillions of things going on and everything functioning and all that, to think that you've got enough knowledge to figure all that out, you're just an idiot. The wise person says, the guy that made this said he would guard over and he'd run be the superintendent of my life if I would believe him, if I would not fear, and if I would acknowledge that he is that. And it would become effective in my life. Amen. As much as a superintendent on a job site can be either good or bad, ours is good. And to think that he, when you just keep acknowledging, Father, you're watching over everything in my life. You're watching over everything in my life to see through it that gets done right. And even when things are done wrong to me, I don't need to respond by reviving back and yelling and telling everybody how stupid they are. I look to you and say, you make it right. And he will come in and he will be. He will flip something that was terribly wrong in your life and flip it around 180 degrees and put your feet on solid ground and have you succeed. I trust in him. I entrust my soul to him, and I acknowledge it. Would you stand with me, please? Do not fear entrusting your life to the one that loves you more than anybody else, the one who wants success for you more than anybody else. You know, again, we're not into the fantasy that everything's going to go all right, but we are into that place where we can take a battle. We can literally do what the Father said and not fear it, not get anxious. Have you ever felt like getting anxious and fearful is the sensible thing to do? Boy, there's times it's like when I try to tell somebody once in a while, you know, hey, don't be afraid. Well, you're crazy. I got to be afraid. Look at the enemy. Again, the word, Jesus was a living word. The word is logos, and it's where we get our word logic. It is logical not to be afraid because fear produces nothing but evil. Always. I hope some of us get a hold of this and just say, I'm going to be a little bit more determined, if not a whole lot more determined, to just focus down. I am not going to be afraid. If he told me not to be afraid, he will empower me not to be afraid. I am not going to be afraid. I'm not playing that game no more. Praise God. And then say, I have a superintendent. I have a paradigm who's watching over me. And if I'm not afraid, have you ever tried to talk to a kid when they're afraid and try to reason with them? Doesn't happen, does it? He cannot talk to us, lead us, guide us, and direct us when we're in fear. And so now you really do have something to be afraid of. But man, if you stay in peace and grace, I hope, Father, I thank you for being our shepherd, and I thank you for bringing our guardian, the one who is in charge of watching over us, to see the things get done right. And we all commit ourselves right now, Father. We acknowledge that you are the one that told us not to be afraid, and so that is the sound wisdom of our life. And we just say, we entrust our souls to you to help us not be afraid. and that we acknowledge that you're with us all the time. We're not a people that's struggling to belong to somebody or belong to something or feel all alone anymore. I do not feel alone. I do not feel lonely anymore because you are with me. You are at my right side, and you're the best friend I've ever had. You're the comforter of my life. And we acknowledge this, and it becomes effective. And Father, in closing now, we just want to pray to the north, to the south, to the east and west, and say to anybody that's hungering and thirsting for life and for walking with God and coming to a place of peace, come to Jesus. Father, draw them to Jesus. And Father, if you have them to want to be, if your plan is for them to come and join us, we open up our hearts right now to people who are hungering and thirsting to walk with you, to be at peace, to be successful, to have victory, to not be conformed to this world, and to not have somebody put their thumb on them and God and rule them, but to have somebody who dearly loves them and cares for them, that knows all things and is all powerful, to come in and become part of that family. And we pray for them, Lord Jesus, that are looking for that. And we let our light shine as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much for each other. Amen. Amen. Do not be afraid.